So Ephesians chapter 3, we're going to, last week when I was preparing for this, for Sunday's teaching, man, it was, it just rocked my world, what God's been showing me. And we're going to spend about 10 minutes reviewing from last week, because for us to really grasp this next thing that Paul's praying for, we got to keep getting our minds around this thing called God's glory. And that it's from his glory that God reveals himself. So we're going to take a little time. We're going to review, and then we're going to move into this area where Paul's prayer for God's love, that we would be rooted and established in love. So let's go after it. Ephesians chapter 3. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, say me, me. Paul's praying now for the church of Ephesus, but he's about to pray for all the saints, that everybody, being rooted and established in love, may have ability, capability, possibility, power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I think that's awesome if she's waving a flag. I'm saying, yeah, wave it, sister. Wave it. Thanks, children of God. God wants to grant. He wants to give you without cost. He freely wants to give you, here's what he says, unlimited resources that are found in his glory. That God wants us all to be strengthened. And that word means to be made strong, to make strong, and it's, or to be strong. And the idea is that we are growing from strength to strength, glory to glory, faith to faith. That in our journey, when I came to this understanding of how much God loved me at a young age, and I said yes to the love of God, it was about the age of 12. And from the age of 12 to now 54, what God has been doing is that he has been strengthening me. He has been growing me. It's this process that he does for all of us when we enter into relationship with him, that we don't have everything of God at that moment. Now, we are totally forgiven. We're his children. We get that part. But he wants us to grow in strength, and he wants us to grow in understanding, and he wants us to grow in relationship with him, so that there is this, we call it maturity. There's this process that God does in our lives that transforms us into people that reflect him. We're going to talk about that in a moment. So how does he do that? God, by his glory, the unlimited resources of his glory, what he does, he empowers us. He gives us ability, capability, and possibility, which is that word power, where? In our inner being. It's right in here where we are, who we really are. It's our character. It's our nature. It's where our imagination dwells. It's where our thought process take place. It's who we really are. So as we talked about last week, right now you are seeing an image of Mike Richardson. My body is just a manifestation of really what's going on inside. And it's the same with you. And one thing that takes place too often in our lives is that we act, we pretend, we are not genuine, authentic. And, you know, I've used this so many times. You're having a fight with someone, the phone rings, and immediately it's like you go from, you stupid, I can't believe you did that, to, hello. No, I don't want long distance service. Thank you for calling though. Appreciate it. Bye-bye now. And then we go back. We learn how to act at a very young age instead of being real authentic. And what God wants to do, God wants to strengthen us so that we are so confident in relationship with him that we don't have to pretend. We don't have to act. We are comfortable in who God is making us and who he's transforming us into be. So in our personality, it's this place where we process. It's where our emotions dwell. This is where Holy Spirit is going to empower us by his unlimited resources found in his glory. Now, last week, just to make sure, we had to contrast between God's holiness and God's glory because they're not synonymous. And we find this in Isaiah 6 where the angels cried, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory," that his holiness is made manifest by his glory. So God's holiness, it means that he is separate. He is a class unto himself. There's no way we can understand God because he's holy. Only God can define who he is. No one else can define God. No one else can say God is. He is so above all of us that he is holiness. He's separated. He is so majestic. He is so worthy. He is so full of love. He is so perfect in all of his ways that you and I will never be able to grasp or understand his holiness. So what does he do? He gives us his glory. And what his glory is how God goes public with who he is at his essence. It's how God reveals to us who he is as a person, because who can understand a God that is perfect in all ways, who is full of worthy and glory and greatness that words can't even come close to describe him? He is such that. So what God does, he wants us to understand him in relationship. So he gives us his glory, which is his presence. It's which is a manifestation of who he is at his essence. So you can be in a devotional or you could be in a church service. And today I felt his presence. I felt his glory where he begins to just touch us. He begins to reveal to us who he is at his essence through his glory. So if we can, just as our bodies manifest who we are inwardly, God's glory manifests to us who he is in his essence. Because he is so great and so beyond. Only God can define God. No one else can define him because he is holy. So when you sense his presence, when you understand something from scripture, when you begin to see this thing, this transformation taking place in your heart, what is it? That's God granting you freely from who he is in his essence, revealed to you by his glory. Now, thank you, Paul. Now, how does God do this? Psalm 19 says, "The heavens reveal the glory of God, and the skies reveal the works of his hands." So God, through creation, is revealing who he is at his essence. So what does that mean? Tomorrow, the sun is not going to rise in the west and set in the east. You're not going to have six seasons. The earth isn't going to shift a little bit. So now that we have just the earth is destroyed because God has made the earth just at the right tilt so that it can receive the proper sun and it can have seasons and it spins at just the right motion so that we can sustain life here. That God has done all this stuff to reveal the essence of who he is as a loving God. So the heavens declare the glory of God. I don't know if you read this, and I hope I get my facts right, but I read a couple articles about two neutron stars that exploded, and they now have the technology to discover it, to see it. And these neutron stars, when they collected, they discovered now, they understand where gold comes from. And it comes from two neutron stars colliding, and it produces platinum and silver and gold. And they said these neutron stars colliding produced 10 octillion tons of gold. We should go to space. Right? Here's the interesting thing, though. It was 130 trillion light years away, and this collision happened 130 billion years ago. And we are just now seeing the effects of something that took place 130 billion years ago. Anybody a little bit younger than 130 billion, right? that this event before we were even on the earth took place, but God who fills the heavens and the earth was there. How do you get your head around that? His glory. How do you understand that? His glory declares the heavens were made by a God. Now, here's the other thing. God, who wants us to have relationship with him so, so much, he doesn't just say, look at the stars, look at the heavens, and I'm real. Now, what does he do? In just a few more months, we're going to celebrate this. He sends his son in human form. Like this, just like us, that Jesus had every human situation we would ever face. Jesus had to walk. He had to learn how to eat. He had to learn all this stuff just like us. And John says in John 1 that we beheld the glory. So if you want to see holy God who is separate, who is unto himself, that no one can compare to, that no one can imitate, that he is God. If you want to know at the essence, at the core of who God is, read the life of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is going to show us how, through the glory upon his life, who God is. So if you really want to know who God is, Jesus will show you who God is. And we find in Hebrews chapter 1 that he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. That God became flesh. Now here is the crazy part. Now this is crazy. Look at the person next to you. Would you just look him in the face for just a moment? Look at him. Look at him. Okay. Here's the crazy part. When you and I accepted the reality that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, and we received that forgiveness, now here's what Paul says. You and I reflect the essence of who God is, and it's called his glory. You see, that's why when we call people, hey, you idiot, you jerk, we are touching the glory. Now, I get it. We don't take credit for what God has done. That's touching the glory. But do you understand now, as followers of Jesus Christ, upon your face, you carry in your life, because Holy Spirit in your inner being is transforming you, that you and I reflect the glory of God. And Paul says we are being transformed with ever increasing glory, that we are not perfect. We are not exactly like holy God, but because Holy Spirit is within us, there's this process, strength to strength, glory to glory, faith to faith, that we are growing and changing and transforming so that in our very core of who we are now revealing to a world the glory of God. And Peter said, the reason why people don't accept you and people reject you is because the spirit of glory is on you. I think we would talk to each other a lot differently if we just realized that you have glory on your face. Remember that old song, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear the brush of angels' wings. I see glory upon each face. Wow. See, Mike, not me, man. That's this whole thing that Paul's praying for. None of us here have attained what Jesus, we are becoming what Jesus was. Jesus was full of God's glory, and his life reflected it. Now we are being transformed. We are becoming what he was. And dear friends, let me tell you this. You can live to 700 years old and still learn about his glory. You could be 1,000 years old and still not fully. Why? Because we are becoming, as God is perfect, we are becoming that. We will never be that on earth. So don't be discouraged if you're 65 years old and saying, man, I am still learning so much more about God. That's how it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be that way. It's supposed to be that until your dying breath, you're going, I am learning about this God who is so holy that he reveals himself through his glory to my heart through the Holy Spirit. And I am constantly learning and growing and changing. And I'm 175 years old and I still don't got it. Exactly. How can we think we're going to be like him exactly on earth? So what we have done too often in the church of Jesus Christ is we have relegated holiness to behaviors. We've relegated holiness to, I don't do this, I don't go there, I don't watch this, I don't see that, I don't. It's, we have relegated so below what holiness is. And here's the verse that has been used to do that. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15 and 16, Peter says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. And we have made that sound like this. God says, I am holy. Now go after it. How can we be holy as he is? We can't. So this isn't a command. This is a promise. Well, I thought at least have one person go, cool. You have points in your life where you thought this really touched you and everyone goes, okay. Okay. Thank you. Oh, thank you guys for loving me. Thank you. He's not saying be this. He says you are. I'm going to read a verse in just a moment that's going to prove this. You are this. Not because you don't drink, smoke, chew, go with the girls who do. You don't watch R-rated movies or PG-13 just in case there's a God's name is used three times in vain. It's not because you didn't go to dances, don't play cards, or don't drink alcohol. It's not all these things that says, oh, now I'm holy. That will you please forgive me for this? But this is how strongly I feel it. It bastardizes the holiness of God. That we can limit God's holiness to a certain behaviors. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? We cannot say holiness are these sets of behaviors. That his holiness is so great and grand, God says, I have to give you what it takes to be holy. How am I going to do it? Through the holy, holy, holy Spirit who's going to dwell within you, and he is going to draw from the resources of my glory, the revelation of who I am. And as he does that, there is transformation that takes place, and it's evident to all by the way you live, by the way you think, by the way you interact. It's evident that you have encountered a holy God in relationship. Right? So what does it do? Does it change your behavior? Definitely. It changes. That's that transformation. Of course, it's going to change the way you talk, the way you think. Not because you are disciplining yourself to be holy, but because you have a relationship with holy, holy Spirit. At the inward person, and then we're trained. And here's the cool thing. And then I'm done with this. We're moving to our next point. What's going to take the rest of our life on earth is he transforms us. What a great journey it is. What a grand journey it is that we get to know Jesus Christ, that we read his word for the 500th time and we go, I've never seen that before. What's God doing? It's his glory being revealed. That God continues to unveil this to us that we might have a more intimate knowledge with him. It's so beautiful that God does this. But here, look what 1 John 3 says. John says, How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And he puts an exclamation point after it. Can you go to, Darren, do you have 1 John 3? 1 John 3? Okay. Would you read out loud? And then I want you to make this an exclamation, not a, that's kind of cool. I want you to really exclaim this, okay? Let's kind of give a hoot and a holler and a yahoo when we're done with it, okay? Read it out loud with me. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. Right? That's how it's supposed to be read. Hey, you're God's child. Hey, you're God's child. I'm God's child. That's how it's supposed to be read. Not, I'm God's child. That's pretty cool. It is this exclamation. And then John uses an exclamation again. Read it with me. And that is what we are. Yay! Thanks, Dean. You and me, buddy. That's what we are. Not we will be, we are. Then John says, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us, it didn't know him. So if the world, society says you are a whack job, you're a wackadoo, because you follow Jesus, you believe in the Savior, it's because they didn't know him. They don't know us. They don't understand this glory thing. They don't understand this transformation. They don't understand that our hearts and our lives are so changed. They don't get it. In fact, our society tells us people really don't change. They're pretty much the same the entire life. And to that I say, bunk. That's what Christianity is about. That this transformation takes place. That who we were before Christ and who we are at the end of our life, you can see a transformation. Why? Because of the glory of God given to us by Holy Spirit changing us in the inward being. Keep going now. Read this next verse. Go ahead, Darren. There we go. Dear friends. Now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. Don't know yet, but we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Do you know one day when he appears, we are going to be just like Jesus. So this process of transformation that Holy Spirit is doing now, there is going to be a sudden transformation when Jesus appears, and these bodies that break down and these bodies that gain weight where they shouldn't gain weight and these bodies that do things that shouldn't be done, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we are going to be changed and we are going to have a body just like Jesus did. Read Philippians. Go with me, Darren. Philippians real quick. Paul says it this way, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So our bodies, when you're looking at people right now, one day they are going to be so amazing that if people didn't understand, they would call you a god. Hear what I'm saying? You're not God. I'm telling you, your body is going to be so glorious that people looking at you would go, I am shocked. I am in awe. Because our physical bodies are not going to have limitations. We're going to be just like Jesus. How many is looking forward to that day? Right? 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 But until that happens, what is Holy Spirit doing? In our inward being, he's transforming us. The essence of who God is revealed in his glory. God going public. God showing us who he is so we can apprehend who he is. That's taking place inside us. Why is that important? Because that's how Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. See, it's not just saying, Jesus, come into my heart, forgive my sins, and now I got it, now I can do whatever I want. That has so reduced the message of the kingdom into just say a prayer, shake a hand, fill out a card, and you're in. It's not an in. It's not a secret handshake. It's not learn the code words. Hey, brother, sister, God bless you. God's good all the time. All the time, God is good. It's not about that. It's about you and I having a real connection with God through the Holy Spirit, where Christ doesn't just come and forgive me my sin and now I just do whatever I want. It's where he dwells in our hearts through faith, and the transformation begins. And what does the transformation look like? And let me confess something to you guys. I have read this verse in Ephesians chapter 3 for years and years and years. And I'm going to read it to you how I read it, not what it says. Until this week, I've read it this way my whole life. It doesn't say it, how I've read it. Here's what it says. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. And let me read it how I have understood it in my mind. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you will one day be rooted. That's not what it says. It's not what it says. It's not one day. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your being. Do you have verse 17, Darren? Did I give that to you? You don't have to get it if you don't have it. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you being rooted. Now. That you being established. Now. In what? In love, that as God transforms our lives and we and Christ dwells, it's not this idea of, it is this idea of like someone who's living in your life. Someone is living in your house. It's not someone who just comes, knocks on the door every once in a while and you welcome them in, say, hi, how are you doing? This person has occupancy rights to your house. Jesus, through faith, he occupies our lives. He comes in through the person of the Holy Spirit who shows God's glory. As he resides there in faith, what happens in our lives? The rooting and the foundation of our life becomes stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger in love. Show the pictures, would you, Darren, real quick? I went to hung out with Jesse this week and met with a pastor up in Pullman. And Deb and I and Amy and Jesse, we got to go up to a piece of property that Jesse is, I think, the project manager of this three-story building. It's an office, it's a commercial and residential and all. It's a big, big project, multi-million dollar project. And when we walked on this property, I just got a couple pictures. There was nothing but just dirt right here. They had destroyed a building. There was a bunch of rebar, a bunch of plastic all over the place. They cleared that out. Show the next picture, if you will. And they began building this structure that's going to go up three stories. And if you notice these pillars all around, these are foundations to hold the building. And Jesse told me, he said, Mike, didn't have a clue what I was talking about. He goes, Mike, it takes a long time to build a foundation. And I go, Jesse, I'm talking about that this Sunday. Cool. But these pillars, these go down deep, deep, deep underground. And it's got rebar and it's got cement and it's got all these different components to make sure that as the apartments and the building goes up, that the pressure, the weight, the challenges that come with a building going up, it's going to withstand everything that the earth can throw at it so that it will stand up. Even when the pressure and the situations that this could face, it's not going to crumble because the foundation has gone deep. When Paul says, as Christ dwells in your heart through faith, what is he saying? He is saying that the foundation of God's love goes so deep into your life, nothing can shake it. That the roots of your relationship with God are so deeply embedded that nothing can rip it out. And dear ones, if you live more than 5 minutes out in Christ, you're going to find that there are life situations that come upon you that is going to question, does God really love me? And what takes place as Christ dwells in our heart, the results of Christ dwelling in our hearts through faith, is that there is such a depth, a foundation of God's love in our lives that nothing can shake it. A friend of mine pastors up in Coeur d'Alene, and I talk with him this week, and he's a good friend, and we share life together, and we were just talking about the love of God and the depth of it. And he said, Mike, he goes, I had a really, really sad experience this week. I go, well, tell me about it. He said, I went and visited with a retired pastor. He's 94 years old. He's retired. And I was one of the last guys to see him before he passed away. I said, well, tell me about that. And he said, he's talking to me and he's questioning, am I going to make it to heaven? And I go, what? Yeah, he served God for years and years and years. He's 94, and now he's questioning, I don't know for sure I'm going to make it to heaven. And I said to my friend, "What? Help me understand. Why would he even say that? And he said, because he was raised in a time where our relationship with God was based upon performance and was based upon what you do and don't do. And it wasn't built on love. Can I just encourage you today? Our relationship with God is never built upon how well we act or how well we behave. That's performance. That's not really holiness. It's based upon this fact that God loves you. So what does my friend do? He spends the next half an hour, 45 minutes, just talking to him about the love of God. Let me tell you about his love. Let me tell you about his love. Let me tell you about his love. He didn't condemn him, didn't criticize him, didn't make fun of him. He just ministered to him with the Father's love. Dear friends, this is what Paul is talking about, that we would be so deeply rooted and deeply established in love. He loves you. The evidence of a good root system. You see, you don't go look at an orchard and say, man, look at those roots. You don't walk into a house and say, man, this has got an amazing foundation. These are unseen areas that are so needed that if you don't have a good root system of a tree, you'll see it by the health and the fruit the tree bears. We were working yesterday, and Steve Jennings back over here brought his dump truck. And we had this right in the front of our building. We had this old tree that had been cut down for years. And Steve said, hey, let's pull that tree out. And my thought to Steve was, well, what if there's like water lines or power lines? What if we rip out the, and he goes, Pastor, that's what insurance is for. It's going to be okay. So he grabs a chain, puts a chain, hooks it up, gets around this stump, and maybe you'll see, we ripped about three bushes out of the front, and he just backs that thing up, and it just went pop. And we looked at it, and though this tree had been here for years, its root system was very shallow. And Dwayne was there too. Other, we just start popping up roots, we're popping up, I mean, these things have been dead, we just start popping them up. Thank God there was no power lines or water lines. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But they easily popped up because the root system wasn't deep. And guys, God wants the root of his love to be so deep within our hearts. How does that happen? As the unlimited resources of his glory through the person of the Holy Spirit empowers us in our inner being, Christ now dwells there. He lives in our heart by faith. He begins to occupy more and more of our lives. And what takes place? A root system, a foundation of love goes so deep into our hearts that nothing moves us, nothing shakes us. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And this is it. We're done with this. The Amplified Version. Darren, if you could put that up. What a cool building that's going to be. Again, I like doing this. Would you read this out loud with me? May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith, and may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love. I'm going to read two more verses and we're done. I said we were done earlier, but we're not done. Go with me to Colossians chapter 1 and Colossians chapter 2. And this is going to kind of prepare us for the next area that we're going to talk about. Not next week, but our next series. 1:21, Paul says this, and this is, listen to what Paul says, verse 21. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight. That when God looks at you, because of what Christ's death and resurrection, Jesus now presents us in the sight of the Father, holy. That should get a little something giddy up in your heart. That should get something you go, woo, right? It's not what you have done, it's what he has done. He presents you holy in his sight. Without blemish and free from accusation. So if in your mind you hear this, you're not, you're lesser than, that's not Holy Spirit talking to you. Because God presents, Jesus presents you holy and blameless in his sight, free from blemish and accusation. Listen, verse 23. Here's that thing of may Christ dwell in your hearts. This is this process. Verse 23, if you continue in your faith, here's that word, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and it has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven in which I, Paul, become a servant of. See how faith is a foundation, hope is a foundation, and love is a foundation. That these, like a three-legged stool, you take one away, it falls. That God is constantly building within us faith, hope, and love. You can't take one and separate them. They're all intertwined in our relationship with God. He is constantly building in our lives our faith, our hope, and our love as a foundation. And then he says in chapter 2, verse 6, and then we're done. I promise we're done this time. In closing for the fifth time. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. There's that thing, strength to strength, glory to glory, faith to faith. This is this continuation that God does in our lives, this process. Rooted and built up, what? In him. Strengthen in the faith as you are taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Dear family, what God is doing in our lives, each one of our lives, is he is, through his glory, he is now establishing us. He is rooting us in faith, in hope, and in love. And as we are established in these three, because only these three remain, as we are established in him, then what takes place in our life is this transformative glory that people can see the difference. Not because we're trying harder, not because we're more disciplined, but because we are receiving in relationship unlimited resources from God to our inner being. And then we're being transformed to ever-increasing glory. So, that's why we talk to the Father. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we have fellowship. That's why we do all that we do. It's not to earn God's favor. It's not for God to say, okay, I'm good job. It's that this is how we all enter into how high and wide and deep and long is the love of Christ. How God literally wants to fill us up to the full measure of who He is here on earth.